Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at two passages of Scripture this morning as we deal with the subject of your role in missions. Your role in missions. There are three possibilities for you today in regard to missions. Number one, you can be a goer. Number two, you can be a sender. Or number three, you can be useless. Now, that's your three possibilities. Now, that's kind of blunt, isn't it? You can be a goer, you can be a sender, or you can be useless. The Lord has commanded us in the Scripture to carry forth the gospel. He has said that we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, an ambassador to Europe or to England or to France or to Spain does not stay here in the United States, does he? If a person is appointed to be an ambassador to France, that ambassador takes he and his family and they move to France, and there they represent the United States of America. They cannot be an ambassador to France and be sitting in their home in Atlanta. That's not an ambassador. An ambassador goes and represents his country. Now, God has called us to represent our country. And what is our country if we're Christians? It's heaven. We are representatives of heaven. We are ambassadors appointed by Christ to share the wonderful news of our country, heaven, with those that are here upon this earth. What kind of a representative are you this morning? Do people know that your home country is heaven? Mr. O'Pager was talking about in Sunday school this morning about they like to go and buy Chicago bread from Publix, all right? Because it reminds you of what? Of home, all right? Where you grew up. Home is always home, wherever you grew up, all right? You may be from Chicago, or you may be from Washington, D.C., or you may be from another city or town from across this land, and that's in your heart. And there are certain things that remind you of home. I remember when I went off to college at Bob Jones University that I went to breakfast and I ate some things I had never eaten before. And I wasn't for sure that they were actually food products. I kind of doubted. There was this thing that they served at breakfast called Ralston. Now, the only Ralston that I knew about growing up was Ralston Purina. All right? Now, and I passed it, the big Ralston Purina plant right off of I-85, just outside of, I think it's a 20-story building, grain elevator, where they store all the grain that's used in making their dog food and kitty cat food, goodies there. So when I heard saw the word Ralston, that's the first thing, they're feeding us dog food. And when I saw it for the first time, my thoughts were confirmed. Brown, I mean mush, that's what it was. And then when I tasted it, it sealed the deal for me. I said, they've done it. They are processing dog food, and they're giving it to the students. All right. Now, that wasn't the case. Then we were served something called Welsh rarebit. All right? Welsh rarebit. Now, we had a form of that growing up at home. But what they were serving and what I had growing up were two completely different things. And we had names for Welsh rarebit. And I won't share any of those names that we had. But I was just convinced that it was a way of getting rid of certain students. That the breakfast food that they had there, and I didn't go to breakfast very often. I usually ate my breakfast, if I had it, on post shift at night. Coming home at 2 o'clock in the morning, you could go to the cafeteria and you could have cereal. Now, that was eating breakfast to me, all right? I was having cereal, and they had in there, they would have muffins and donuts and stuff all fixed up ready for those night crews when they came in there, and we ate like kings. So that was the only breakfast that I had. Any other time I was going to the machines and pulling out a donut or a pastry and a quart of milk or a little pint of milk or whatever they had. And that was my breakfast. Now, there are three possibilities for you this morning. You can be a goer, you can be a sender, or you can be useless when it comes to missions. Now, I want to read this passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. I want you to follow along in your Bible as I read from the Amplified Bible. Follow along, please. Verse 5. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Ministering servants they are, not heads of parties, through whom you believed, even as the Lord appointed to each his task. I planted, Apollos watered, but God all the while was making it grow, and he gave the increase. So neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but only God who makes it grow and become greater. He who plants and he who waters are equal, one in aim, of the same importance and esteem. Yet each shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would help us to understand our responsibility this morning in regard to missions, and that we might take up that responsibility. I ask, dear Heavenly Father, that you would give us a heart for the lost. There are people in our neighborhoods without Christ. There are people that we come in contact with at work that are without Christ. There are family members that we count so dear that if they were to die, they would go to a devil's hell because they're not trusting in Jesus Christ alone. Father, give us a tender heart toward the lost. But beyond just those that we come in contact, Father, there's a whole world of lost people that are on their way to eternal destruction. And Lord, you've called us to be your ambassadors, to go out and to share with them. We are to do as Paul. We're to plant the seed. We're to be like Apollos, and we're to water. But we're to rest in thee, knowing that you're the one who works all the while that giveth the increase. We ask, dear Lord, that you would work in our hearts and give us a tenderness toward our role in missions, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Why should you give money above the tithe to support the mission endeavors of Grace Bible Church? What is your role in missions? I want to share with you this morning five thoughts from the Scriptures this morning relative to world missions and this congregation. What is our role? You say, well, we're not a very big church. What possible impact can we have? I want you to know that we can have a very large impact. I have been told so many times by missionaries that have come through this church that they count it one of their greatest privileges to come here because they feel like that this church is behind them and knows their name. I get that comment all the time. Brother Phil Frazier, when he emailed me, he told me in our conversation by email, he said, I appreciate so much the people of Grace Bible Church because I know they're praying for me. They're concerned about our ministry here in the Philippines. They're behind us. And when I come there, people come up and say, hello, Brother Phil. He said, you don't know how many churches we go to where we have to reintroduce ourselves to the leadership of the church. Leadership changes, but he said, what's sad is people that we recognize their faces and they don't recognize ours. They haven't prayed. Very little effort is made to communicate with the congregation about the missionaries that are being supported. By reading and sharing prayer letters, almost 15 years ago, we determined that we were going to take the last Wednesday of each month to read to you the prayer letters. Now, we had put prayer letters out for some time, but you know, you start shaking hands after the service and you get occupied, and letters just don't get read. To take time to sit there and read each one of the letters, it's just difficult. And so we said, what we're going to do is kind of hone in, share the important things, and keep you up to date. Another thing that we decided to do, this is our 10th year of providing to you a missionary prayer bulletin. I think these are very helpful to you. You can see the missionaries' faces. You can see their children's faces. Are you praying for their children? Do you know them by name? You can actually, in this age of technology, there's no excuse for you not to send an email every once in a while. Or to pick up the phone and make a phone call and just say, listen, my name is so-and-so. I'm with Grace Bible Church in Milton, Florida. Just wanted to call you and let you know I prayed for you this morning. I've tried to make that my habit. That when I pray for a missionary, that I contact them and said, I had prayer this morning and I remembered you in prayer and I wanted to let you know that we're holding the ropes for you here in Milton, Florida. That means all the world to a missionary, to get that note, just to say, I'm praying for you today. Or in church on Sunday, our Sunday school teacher, Mr. O'Pager, highlighted you in the Sunday school hour. I wanted to share that with you to let you know we're praying for you. In this technology age, there's no excuse for you not to connect with a missionary. Beyond just a check in the offering plate, just a quick email. How long does that take? You know, in our day and age, we spend a lot of time on our computer, but are we using it for God's glory? Is it honorable conversation that we're having? We're conversing with our family and we're conversing with our friends, and here's a missionary half a world away that never hears from its supporting churches. I think that's sad, don't you? I think that's a sad thing. You might not be able to afford a stamp, but it doesn't cost anything to send an email. Just a little note that just says, I just thought of you today. I prayed for you and I just wanted you to know. If you have a special prayer request, missionary so-and-so, would you send it to me so I can pray for you? Do you know what that means to a missionary family that's on the other side of the world? It means all the world to them. You have a role in missions. And it doesn't matter the size of the church. Well, big churches ought to be... No. Forget that. What are you doing? What are you doing to support and aid the role of missions? Now, if you understand your role in missions from a biblical perspective, I think you will realize how important your participation is, taking up your responsibility. I read not too long ago, I was sitting in the doctor's office, and of course doctor's offices have medical journals. And I was in Dr. Freitas's office, it's been almost 2 weeks ago, and I was reading through there, and it was a healthcare professional that had put in there a situation that had happened in his hospital. Something that he had to deal with. Now you think of a medical administrator in a hospital, they're dealing with millions of dollars, right? And they're dealing with doctors who have different perspectives, and they're trying to, it's like herding cats running a hospital, I would imagine. It's not easy. You've got all these doctors, and all these doctors have what? They've got their own opinion about how things should operate. All right, and here you are, just a humble administrator of a hospital. You don't have an earned doctorate or whatever, but you may have an MBA or you may have something, and you're responsible for the financial health of this hospital, and you've got to make tough decisions. Here was a situation that came before his desk that he had to deal with. His name is Bernard L. Brown. He is the president of the Kenistone Regional Healthcare System in Atlanta, Georgia. This is what he had to deal with, all right? He had a patient that had spilt some water in their room, and they were afraid that when they got up, hospital floors have a tendency to be slippery. They don't have carpet in hospital rooms for the most part, mostly tile, so they can clean it up quickly if they have a spill or something happens. And so this patient hit the button, and the nurse's aide came walking in and said, "Would you please mop up this spill? I'm so afraid that I'm going to slip and fall when I get up to go to the restroom." And so the nurse's aide looked at that, and she went over and hit the button to call housekeeping. Housekeeping came in the door. What's the problem? And the nurse's aide said, "We've got a spill here that needs to be taken care of." And Turner was fixing to go out the door, and housekeeping said, "That's too small for housekeeping." The hospital regulation is, if it's a small spill, nurse's aides are supposed to take care of that. You take care of that, and then the housekeeping was fixing to walk out the door. And the nurse's aide stood in the doorway and said, No. That qualifies as a big spill. Clean it up." And this argument had escalated into the point where the patient interrupted and said, wait a minute, stop for just a moment. She went over and got her pitcher of water, threw it on the floor, doused the whole floor. And then she walked over to both of them and says, "What does that qualify as?" That ended the fight. The patient went to the doctor, said, "I've got a complaint to make." And they said, we'll get you the person that's responsible. Went all the way up to the director. He said, "I couldn't believe that we had a regulation in our hospital thing." He said, "It should have been the responsibility of whoever was on staff to take care of that little problem." And he said, it turned and escalated. He said, "We had a problem with people taking up a responsibility that was bigger than housekeeping or nurse's aide. It was my patient. He said, we lost sight of taking responsibility for the patient. And he said, I had to deal with that. He said, I had a big meeting. We brought in all the staff. And they thought we were going to fire people. But he said, we're going to make some changes around here. He said, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're approached by a patient and you have a particular need, you take that patient's concern to heart and you solve the problem that's there. Take up the responsibility. I said, you know what? That's a good illustration about missions. We like to pass the buck, do we not? Well, somebody else in our church has a lot more money than I have. You know, I don't need to be given whenever somebody else can be. Wait a minute. That's passing a responsibility. What about the patients? Who are the patients in this world? Lost sinners, family members. Are you concerned about them? Are you concerned about their soul enough to move in their behalf? I don't mean to just barrage them all the time. I mean pray for them. And when opportunities unfold for you to share the gospel, to share it, and just pour out your heart to them. May I say this? Don't try to keep using some kind of a soul winner's roll with them. Just get honest with them and say, listen, I'm concerned about you. You're my relative, or you're my friend, or you're my next door neighbor, and I'm concerned about where you're going to spend eternity. Speak from the heart about their greatest need. And their greatest need is not for them to mow their grass that you fuss about all the time. The greatest need is that they come to know the Savior. And you ought to be a witness. That's concern for the patient. And you need to be concerned this morning. Five areas. First of all, I want you to understand that the Bible is the foundation for world missions. The Bible is the foundation. We must be a church that builds its missionary vision on this book and this book alone. Not books about it, but on this book. In order to be biblical, we have to follow what the Word of God has to say. The Word of God tells us about God. The Bible tells us about man. The Bible tells us that man has one great need, and that is the need for a Savior, Jesus Christ. It tells us about salvation in Christ. It tells us about His way of life revealed in Christ. And when we choose to support missionaries, mission endeavors, or send missionaries out of our church, we must support and send missionaries who are grounded in this book. We're careful about the missionaries that we send out and those that we support. Very careful. We've had a few missionaries over the year that have come in, and there was just no way that we could support them. They didn't have a grasp of this book. They struggle to communicate this book. If they struggle to communicate this book here, what are they going to do when they get over there? And one particular missionary we had back in the early 90s, and this particular fellow just graduated from Bible college, and he came over. He was going to go to Honduras and be a missionary there. And so we had him come speak in the church, and he struggled. His message lasted about 8 minutes, and it was 8 minutes of torture. 8 minutes of torturing the Scripture. 8 minutes of torturing our ears. And he did his ministry, had a display out there and so forth. And I saw him 5 years later. He was still in the Pensacola area. He said, we're still on deputation. I said, what is your support level? 29%. And I told him, I said, I'm going to be very honest with you, brother. I said, I don't think missions is where you ought to be. I said, we had you in our church 5 years ago. You should have been on the field by now. And you're at 29% of support. That's a problem. Do you not see that? And you know what he said to me? My wife said the same thing to me. But he said, I'm too embarrassed. Too embarrassed after visiting all these churches. He didn't go to the field. Praise the Lord. You say, praise the Lord? Yes. That wasn't his call. That wasn't his call. It was quite obvious. The Lord had not moved in his behalf to get him on to the field. He was struggling with the communication of the Bible. I had talked to two other pastors that had him in their church, and they all said the same thing. He doesn't know how to handle the Bible. And so we have to understand that we want to send men and women that have a grasp of the Scriptures, that know how to communicate the truth, because the Bible is the basis of missions. We don't pick or choose doctrines that missionaries believe in, but seek to find like-minded people who understand the fundamentals of the faith. That is, believe, preach, and live the fundamentals of the faith. And that includes, by the way, the doctrine of separation. We're careful about our missionaries and who we send to the field. We had a missionary in 1991. I went to school with him. He was on our hall for a while. I had several Bible classes with him. He was bilingual. He spoke fluent Spanish. I mean, when he spoke, you thought he was from Mexico. I mean, he knew how to pronounce. He rolled his R's. I mean, he did everything like he was supposed to do. And so I was excited about having him come. He had married his sweetheart from college. He came here, presented his ministry, and we began to support him. He lasted 1 year on the field. He got involved with a Mexican girl that had come to the church there, got involved with her sexually, and his wife found out about it. She contacted the mission board, and then the mission board contacted us. We cut off support immediately from him. He came back home from the mission field, a disaster. His marriage was in shambles as a result. Why? That man was not living according to the precepts of the Word of God, was he? He may have had a head knowledge of the fundamentals of the faith, but he wasn't living the fundamentals of the faith. The Bible is our basis. We do not want to waste one penny going to somebody who preaches a watered-down Jesus Christ or compromises His holy Word. The apostles built their lives and their ministries on this book, and we can do no other. That's number one. Number two, I want you to understand that missionary endeavors are God's special work. God's special work. What this simply means is not that God does things apart from us, but rather that He chooses to use us in what He's doing in missions. We just read about that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed. They were the ones that went out, and one planted the seed and the other watered. But notice, please, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God was the one that caused the seed to sprout. God was the one that caused the seed to take root. God was the one that supplied the nutrients through His Word. Paul and Apollos were ministers. Servants is the word there. They were simply servants by whom people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They communicated the Word. They watered the Word. But the Word produced the work. Now that's important for us to understand. Our passage makes it clear that neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but God who giveth the increase. Our job is to obey and be faithful and trust Him. In addition, let me say that missions is more than evangelism. Do you understand that? Missions is more than evangelism. What do you do when they get saved? You got to teach them. You got to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's beyond evangelism. Evangelism is reaching them, giving them the gospel. But when they get saved, they've got to be edified. They've got to be built up. And so missions goes beyond. And by the way, that's what's behind the idea of Apollos watered. Yes, he watered the seed, but after the seed sprouted, what did he do? He watered. He watered. He watered. That's a ministry beyond evangelism. That involves edification, building up. Sometimes we have preconceived ideas about planting and watering, but you see, Paul's vision here is beyond just soul winning. The vision is for saints built up in Jesus Christ. And these saints going out and reaching others with the gospel and building them up. Have you built up a saint this week? Have you edified another saint? How do you edify another saint? You edify them for praying for them. You edify them for speaking to them, connecting with other believers in Christ and building them up in their most holy faith, as Paul put it. You know, some of the most precious conversations that I have are with men of the church. We go out on Wednesdays and we have spiritual conversations. We talk about things of the Lord. It's a blessing to do that. We're building each other up. It's more than just talking about the weather and talking about politics and talking about what's going on in the Middle East. It's about talking about the things of Christ. Are you doing that? Are you building each other up in our most holy faith? Would you look with me at Acts chapter 18 for just a moment? It won't take a lot of time, but Acts chapter 18. I want you to see Apollos' ministry. Beginning at verse 24, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John." He didn't have a full understanding of dispensational truth. "And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly, that he might understand in the work that God was doing among the Gentiles." Apollos had limited his ministry to one ethnic group. Who was it? The Jews. And Aquila and Priscilla. Isn't that interesting? A husband and wife team. They went over and edified Apollos. Apollos, there's more that I want to share with you. You need to understand that the gospel now is going out to the Gentile. And the gospel is the gospel of the grace of God that reaches out beyond ethnic groups. It's not about the Jew now. It's about the Jew and the Gentile in one body known as the church. And they edified him. And he received that edification. And then look what he did, verse 27. "And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he had come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ." Now that's a ministry beyond soul winning. That's a ministry of edification, building up. And it was a husband and wife team that went to him and said, "Listen, we want to share with you some things that have happened and taken place. The Apostle Paul has received a mystery of the church, something that wasn't prophesied in the Old Testament. And here's what it is." And they shared with him the revelation that Paul had shared with them. And so he went out and he went to work for the Lord. He was edified, built up in the faith. So important that you and I be followers of the Word. God's special work in missions. We want to pay special note to Apollos' ministry. We want to pay special note to Paul's ministry, but we must understand that it is God's work. It's God's work, and we need to be involved with doing that work. Thirdly, we should consider that the aim of missions is the worship of the true and living God. What is the final outcome of missions? What are we desiring? We're desiring that in India, as we send support to the South India Baptist Bible College, that those young people that go out and plant churches might bring glory to the praise of Jesus Christ, that they might worship Him. I've been corresponding now for 5 years with missionary David Raj, who was a student at South India Baptist Bible College. He went out and started 3 churches. He's been pastoring those 3 churches for the last 5 years. And he emails me, everyone, it's broken English, it's hard to understand sometimes. But he just pours out his heart. He said, I'm struggling. I'm seeing people going back into Hinduism. And he said, it is such a grief to my heart. But he said, I have some faithful folks who have been born again. They've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And he said, I just continue to teach them the Bible. Continue to teach the Bible. In his little town, 3 churches have been started. There's not more than 25 people in any one of them. But you know what's coming up out of those little towns? the worship of God. Even in just a small group, there are places where God is being glorified and worshiped by people who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's the purpose of missions. That's the purpose of Grace Bible Church. We meet here and gather together here. Yes, we fellowship with one another, but we want to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. And if we don't do that, why are we here? Why are we here? Oh, we need to understand that the aim of missions is the worship of the true and living God. Romans 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, listen, which is your reasonable service. That word service there is the word worship, latruo. It's the word that's translated several passages. In Acts 7:42, Acts 24 and verse 14, Philippians 3:3, Hebrews 10 and verse 2. It's all translated in our King James Bible, worshiped, which is your reasonable worship. Are you worshiping God with your life? That should be the aim and purpose of missions. Oh, how we need to follow the Lord. Isn't it interesting that God has called us to seek to carry the gospel to the Gentiles so that they might bring praise and glory and worship to the name of God? And so many times we aren't doing that in our congregations here in America. We talk a lot about it. Oh, we talk a lot about worshiping God. We want to bring worship to God, but what we bring is not worship. It's man-made nonsense. I want you to see, fourthly, that missions, your role in missions, is a regional approach. I've been burdened about this particular understanding and idea. I want you to turn with me to Romans 15, and we're going to close with this today. Quickly, these last two points. Romans chapter 15, verses 19 through 23. We studied this passage back some time ago, early part of last year. Let me begin reading at verse 19. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years, to come unto you. Whensoever I take my journey into, what does he say? Spain. I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. Now, throughout Paul's ministry, he was burdened for regions. Regions to be reached with the gospel. He speaks of that. Remember, he received a dream of a man that was calling him to come where? To Macedonia, a region. He talks about Asia Minor, a region. Paul had an original approach to missions because that was God's approach to missions. You plant a church here, and that church begins to grow and reach out to its people, multiplying. All right? Reach our region with the gospel. That's our desire. We want to be used of the Lord. We want to reach out beyond our borders. The ministry of the projector is a desire to reach out our borders. The Children's Bible Club, a desire to reach out of our borders through radio, through the internet. I've gotten a few emails. We haven't seen any new sermons posted. Is there a problem? Well, so yes, we've had a problem. We're trying to figure out what we can do. Our web host has told us that we can't put any more sermons on our church website because we've used up all the audio files, so we're trying to find out. But there are people that are missing hearing the Word of God. We've got a ministry outside the four walls of this church. We need to understand the regional approach. Not only is an individual witnessing one by one, but also a burden outside of our four walls for the regions of the world Do you have that kind of a vision? William Carey, as he was making shoes, you know what he did? He took a big piece of leather. He cut out this big piece of leather. He stuck it on his wall. He had his workbench there, and every day he would pray for the regions of the world. And as he began to pray, he began to realize, Lord, why can't I go? Why can't I go and carry the gospel? And finally, he gave up making shoes, and he went to one of the regions that was on his map. He prayed. He had the world laid out there, and he was praying each day. He would pick a region, and he'd pray for it. Regional approach. Finally, you and I are senders of those who will proclaim the gospel. Verse 24, we just read, whenever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward. Now notice the next two words. How? By you. What's Paul saying? I want to go to Spain. I'm going to come visit you, and I want you to help me go to Spain. Now, he was not saying, I want to gather the whole church up together. We're going to get this big caravan, and all of us are going to go to Spain together. Is that what he said? No. I'm the goer. You're the what? You're the sender. Simple missionary principle. I'm going to Spain, but when I come to you, I hope that by you, you will make my way to Spain possible. God's called us to be senders. Interesting Greek word. Propimpo is the Greek word. And this is the translation. To send forth. To help on one's way fully equipped. Did you get that? He says here in verse 24, to be brought on my way. That's all one Greek word. To be sent, yes. To be sent with everything I need to go to Spain. That's what the church is supposed to do. We're to help our missionaries. We provide housing for them when they come home from the States. We help them out with meals. We ask them, listen, what is a special need that you have? And our church has been so generous. You folks have been so generous over the years in your giving to further these missionaries on. Why? Because that's the biblical thing to do. That's the right thing to do. To support our missionaries and to hasten them on their way to communicate the gospel. You can be a goer, you can be a sender, as Paul says here, or you can be useless, not involved in any way, shape, or form. I want to say this, don't expect a reward. Don't expect a reward. If you don't support, you don't aim to help, you don't want to be involved by praying for our missionaries, then there's no reward for you. There's no blessing for you. You, in essence, are useless in the cause of missions. I don't think anybody here this morning wants to be useless. I think all of us have a role in missions. Goers, oh, I'm praying. I have been praying that the Lord would raise up some of our children to go. Do we have some folks that want to pray that way? Some parents that will pray that way and say, I want my kids. I want the Lord to call. I'm going to give them to the Lord. Whatever the Lord wants them to do. If He wants them to be a missionary, He wants them to go out and serve Him in a full-time capacity. Lord, it's all right. You take my children. We need to be praying that we'll have some goers. But we need to be senders. When Paul came to that church, they supplied him with what he needed, and he went on his way to Spain. What a blessing to be used of God in that regard. And we want to be used here at Grace Bible Church. What is your role? Your role is to pray and to send. And that means supporting. Supporting by prayer. Supporting by giving. Helping out whenever there's a special need that a missionary has. To say, I'll do that. It may mean that you don't get to go on as long a vacation that you'd like to go on. Is that so terrible if God's work is furthered? I met a Chinese man not too long ago here in town. And matter of fact, it was the night of the banquet. Chinese man. He hasn't been on a vacation in 15 years. He was talking there with some of the men that were talking. They were in English talking with each other. He said, I haven't been on a vacation in 15 years. I've been building my business. This is more important right now than me taking a vacation. said, wow. And a lot of times we start thinking that way when it comes, well, vacation, or do I give to missionary? Oh, we got to have a vacation. Wait a minute. If you take care of missions, God will take care of you. I've seen Him provide many times when I didn't think there was going to be a way, and the Lord would provide and make a way possible, and praise the Lord. He'll take care of you. If you'll take care of His business, He'll take care of yours. That's the principle of Scripture. May you have a role in missions here at Grace Bible Church. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, Your word is so clear. We didn't have time this morning to develop all the thoughts, but Lord, Your word is just so clear that we have a role in missions, that we have a responsibility to make sure that the gospel goes forth. We may not be able to cover every region of the world. This earth is a patchwork of believers around the world supporting missionaries in different places. We thank You for the opportunities that we've had to assist over 20 years with missionaries around the globe. And Lord, we pray that that vision might continue to grow, that it would grow beyond just putting a check in an offering plate, but would grow to the place of very prevalent prayer for our missionaries. Fervent prayer. The kind of prayer that knows the names of the children. The kind of prayer that knows the names of individuals mentioned in a prayer letter. That kind of prayer, Lord. Not just a generic shotgun prayer to bless the missionaries on the foreign field, but rather a personal intercession. But even beyond that, Lord, grooming our children to be open and receptive to Christ, to take their place on a mission field. To not only be a sender, but to be a goer. We pray, Father, that You would work in our hearts. Lord, tenderize us with Your word. Help us to get off some of our worldly concepts about money, about giving. And Lord, help us to get on to the understanding of Your word and what You have laid out for us in Your holy, precious word about giving. Help us to operate according to Your economic plan, not the ones developed by men that work well in the Satan's economy, but they're not the way in which God would have us to operate. Lord, help us to trust Thee and to have faith in Thee. Lord, bless our fellowship meal, and we pray that You bless the afternoon service, and we pray that we might be able to further the work of missions here at Grace Bible Church through these dear people. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.